Good evening. It's good to see everyone this evening. And as Seth has already mentioned, we are good to have those with us. And it's good to be able to come together to study from God's Word. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles this evening to Numbers chapter 22. Numbers chapter 22. In just a moment, we will take that as our text of Scripture as we consider the importance of a proper attitude toward God's Word. And I appreciate the opportunity to go through the Old Testament history, the wilderness wanderings, and there are great lessons from these periods of times. And this evening, we're going to consider what I'm going to call Balaam's Bible Basics. And it's fundamental that we approach God's Word in the right way. And I can't think of anything more fundamental in our life than our approach to God's Word. In fact, it's so fundamental that it determines our eternal destiny. Where we end up in the judgment day is going to be based upon our attitude and approach toward the Word of God today. And not only our eternal destiny, but something even a little bit closer than that, and that is the Lord's church in the future. And I think about our young people here this evening. Your attitude toward the Word of God in the future will determine whether or not you are a part of a body of people that strives to be the New Testament church, or you might be a part of what we might call a progressive group, that which is going beyond the Word of God. And so our attitude toward the Word of God is extremely fundamental. And this evening, we're actually going to learn some great lessons from a man that is otherwise a pretty unsavory character. And that man is Balaam. What's interesting about this man is he's kind of an enigma. Because when you look at him in the New Testament, there's nothing good to say at all about him in the New Testament. In 2 Peter chapter 2, and little book of Jude, and Revelation chapter 2, this man is described as a transgressor. He's described as a hired gun, as it were, who was hired to encourage Israel to commit fornication and idolatry. Just a really base fellow. And we know about that activity in Numbers chapter 25. But before we get to that chapter, he is actually exhibiting a wonderful attitude toward the Word of God. And that's what we want to look at this evening. So he's a little bit of an enigma. We're looking at some great qualities in his life tonight, and that's soon going to change when he gets over to chapter 25. But in these three chapters, what we call Balaam's prophecies of blessing toward Israel, we're going to learn six fundamental attitudes toward the Word of God. How do we approach the Word of God? Are we careful? Paul talks about in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 about rightly dividing the Word of God. That word literally is cutting a straight course in the Word of God. We're careful. We're careful with Bible words. We're careful with the context. We're careful with our interpretation, what we call hermeneutics. We're careful in our Bible study that we interpret and explain things accurately. We can either be careful or we can be like Peter in 2 Peter 3:16, who talks about those who twist the Scriptures to their own destruction. They're not careful with Bible words. They're not careful with context. They're not careful with what the doctrine teaches. And so, what is our attitude and approach toward the Word of God? As I said, it's so fundamental that it will determine our eternal destiny. And it's so fundamental it will determine what church we are part of in the future. We've seen some changes in churches of Christ in the past few years, and there will continue to be more with the wrong approach toward the Word of God. What can we learn from Balaam's approach? I want to look at six attitudes this evening that are great. And you can just mark it down. This is the way we need to approach the Word of God. And I can't find a better example that I can think of in the Old Testament than this man right here. What a great attitude toward the Word of God. Well, in Numbers chapter 22, you may recall there, where Israel is on the plains of Moab, and they're a mighty nation. And it has already been shown that they are able to fight in war with other nations, Sihon and Og and others. And the king of Moab is quite worried. He's concerned about this mighty nation. And this people is going to overrun us. They're going to take hold of us. They're so great. And so if I could get somebody to come and curse them, maybe I could have an advantage over them if we ever end up in a battle. So he calls upon a man named Balaam in order to come and do that. So let's pick up the reading in Numbers chapter 22 and verse 6. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I know that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and him whom thou cursest is cursed. And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand, and they came to Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. And he said unto them, Lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as Jehovah shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. And God came unto Balaam and said, What men are these with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent unto me, saying, Behold, the people that has come out of Egypt, it covereth the face of the earth. Now come, curse me them, peradventure I shall be able to fight against them, and shall drive them out. And God said unto Balaam, Thou shalt not go with them, thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And Balaam rose up in the morning, and said unto the princes of Balak, Get you into your land, for Jehovah refuses to give me leave to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak, and said, Balaam refuses to come with us. I want you to notice, first of all, Balaam's first attitude that I want us to consider this evening is found in chapter 22 and verse 8. What is our attitude toward the Bible, that book that we hold in our hands? Well, first of all, notice the text says that he said, I will bring you word again as Jehovah shall speak unto me. I want you to notice that he viewed this as being the very word of God. And that is our first and fundamental approach to this book we call the Bible. When you pick it up, it is the very word of God. It's not the words of men. If it were the word of men, we wouldn't need to be here tonight. If it were the word of men, there would be no reason to discuss anything or interpret anything. It wouldn't matter what man says. And Balaam's attitude is, I'm going to get the very word of God, verse 8, as Jehovah shall speak unto me. He viewed it as the word of God. And so we must. All scripture is inspired of God. 2 Timothy 3:16. The word means God breathed. It is the very word of God. Sometimes today the Bible is dismissed as a fiction and fable and fairy tale. Sometimes the Bible is dismissed today as just a bunch of opinions. And so that's the way people in their mind make excuses for not having to read it and obey it. They just simply relegate it to the opinions of men. And we need to remember that when we open up our Bible, we're reading the very word of God. Peter would add to this statement in 2 Timothy 3 when he writes in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21, No prophecy ever came by the will of man, but men spake from God, being moved by the Holy Spirit. This isn't just something that is from man. And so the fundamental attitude is, this is the very word of God. And I've heard even people say when they're reading passages from the Apostle Paul, well, that was Paul giving his opinion. And it's typically things that they don't agree with. You know, verses that they agree with, you know, those verses are from God. But the verses that they disagree with, well, those are verses from men. And so, all of the Word of God, every Scripture, all Scripture is God-breathed. And that needs to be our fundamental approach. So even when we get to a position where we're reading something that's contrary to what we like, we can always rein ourselves in, well, this is not what I like, but it is the Word of God. Remember that Balak was wanting a curse. That's all that was on his mind. I got to get these people cursed. I got to get them cursed. And when he keeps hearing over and over again the opposite of that, he's getting something different than what he would like. And sometimes when we open our Bible, we're reading something different than what we would like. But it's still the Word of God. And so what a great attitude. I'm simply going to bring you the Word of God. Well, let's continue on in chapter 22 and verse 15. And Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. He thought that that would help. And they came to Balaam and said to him, "Thus saith Balak, the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me, for I will promote thee unto a very great honor, and whatsoever thou sayest unto me, I will do. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people." And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, "If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of Jehovah my God to do less or more. Now therefore I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what Jehovah will speak unto me." And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, "If the men are come to call thee, rise up, go with them. But only the word which I speak unto thee, that shalt thou do." Balaam has this attitude that is very great toward the Word of God. Notice in verse 18 he says, "I cannot go beyond the word of Jehovah." That is so fundamental. We cannot get more basic than that. And young people, hear me. This is what is tearing the religious world apart. It's what's tearing the Lord's church apart. And that is, I want to do more than what the Word of God says, or I want to do less than what the Word of God says. I want to add to the Word of God. Those things that are not in the Word of God, I just want to add to that. And we cannot do that. We must never go beyond the Word of God. John says in 2 John 9 that that's what causes sin. Whosoever transgresses and goes beyond the Word of God hath not God. And today, that's the very thing that is tearing so many people apart and even churches apart. We want to add to the Word of God. I know the Bible doesn't say such and such, but we've got to learn this basic fundamental approach. Never, ever add to or take from the Word of God. And as tempting as it is, and as easy as it is, and as much as we're pushed into doing that and prodded into doing that, and religious people will gather together and many of them will want to do that, we've got to resist that. I can't do more or less than what God says. It's so tempting, it's so easy, but we must resist that urge. And of course, we're familiar with the end of the book of Revelation where John says there, it's interesting, one of the final things that's said in the Word of God in all of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, one of the most final things that is mentioned there is to not add to or take from the Word of God. Do you think that that's fundamental? Being one of the last things that's mentioned in Scripture? If any man shall add unto them, God shall add unto them the plagues. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life. That's pretty serious, isn't it? To miss out on heaven because we took away from the Word of God? What a great attitude. I'm not going to add to or take from. And we see that in the religious world. We see it when church creeds and church councils and the decisions of men and Bible scholars say this and all of that. Church leadership says this, and we had a convention last summer and they voted to do this. God's Word is added to and taken from all the time. And we need to learn from Balaam not to do that. And I want our young people to learn this evening, don't ever add to or take from the Word of God. Well, there's the matter of Balaam on his donkey, his talking donkey, and the matter of the Lord opening the eyes of Balaam to see the angel that is standing in the way. And so we're going to pick up the reading in Numbers chapter 22 and verse 36. And when Balak heard that Balaam was come, he went out to meet him unto the city of Moab, which is on the border of the Arnon, which is in the uttermost part of the border. And Balak said unto Balaam, Did I not earnestly send unto thee to call thee? Wherefore camest thou not unto me? Am I not able indeed to promote thee to honor? And Balaam said unto Balak, Lo, I am come unto thee. Have I now any power at all to speak anything? The word that God puts in my mouth, that shall I speak. And Balaam went with Balak, and they came unto Kiriath Huzzath. And Balak sacrificed oxen and sheep, and sent to Balaam and to the princes that were with him. Notice the statement of Balaam in verse 38. Have I now any power at all to speak anything? One of the newer versions puts it this way. But can I speak anything I want? Look at that. Can I speak anything I want? That's a great lesson right there. You want me to tell you what God says, but can I just get up and say anything I want? It's a rhetorical question. No, I can't do that. I can't just get up and say anything I want. It has to be the very word of God. And what a great fundamental attitude that is going on here. We are not allowed to say anything we want. Preachers and elders and others, we're not allowed to stand up and say anything we want. Bible class teachers, we can't just stand up and say anything we want. It'd be easy, be tempting, but we can't do it. We're not supposed to do it. But can I say anything I want? I like that translation. No, I can't. We don't have that power. We've not been given that permission. We've not been given that authority. Imagine telling one of our kids to go out and do something, and you find out later that, well, they just said anything they wanted to on that. Well, wait a minute, I didn't give you permission to do that. Imagine having someone work for you, and you find that they're just saying whatever they want about the company. Oh, wait a minute now. You can't do that. You're an employer, and you're charging certain things for your products, and you find out that one of your employees, he's been saying whatever he wanted to about the price. He's knocked the price in half, and you didn't even know it. Wait a minute now. You can't be doing that. You see? So this fundamental attitude about the Word of God is that we must say only what God once said. And so in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak as of the oracles of God. One version says the very word of God, and that's what that Greek word means. Let him speak as if it were the very word of God. And as tempting as it is, we cannot say anything we want. Well, what does the Bible teach about marriage, divorce, and remarriage? Well, let me just tell you what I'd like to tell you about that. No, I can't do that. Well, can you tell me about the work of the church? Well, I'll just tell you whatever I want. No, I can't do that. Well, how about the plan of salvation? How about church leadership? How about a host of other kinds of things? I can't just say whatever I want. You can't just say whatever you want. And it's the saying of whatever we want that has caused religious division. And it's the saying of whatever we want that's even caused differences in churches of Christ. The Word of God, God is not a God of confusion, 1 Corinthians 14. If there is diversity, and there's a lot, if there is denominational diversity, it's not because of the Word of God, it's because people are saying whatever they want. And that's why we have all that. There's only one plan of salvation, but we've got all kinds of plans of salvation because some people are saying whatever they want about baptism and a host of other things. Let's speak the way God wants us to speak and confine ourselves. It's a confining. It's a restricting. It's a self-control. I would love to go beyond the Word of God. It would be easy to do that. You can pack a building full of people from all over Clarksville if we just stand up and say whatever we want about any Bible topic. This place would be full. You'd have to add on. But we're not allowed to do that. And there's going to be a rude awakening in the judgment day when people find out they weren't given permission to say some things that they said about the Bible. Come with me now to chapter 23 when Balaam begins to offer up his first prophecy. Let's look at some other great attitudes toward the Bible. I'm going to call them Balaam's Bible basics. These are just Bible basics. It's the very Word of God. Number two, it is something that I can't go beyond, add to or take from, and I can't just say anything that I want. These are just basic Bible approaches to the Word of God. Look at verse 20, chapter 23, verse 1. Balaam said unto Balak, build me here 7 altars, and prepare me here 7 bullocks and 7 rams. And Balak did as Balaam had spoken, and Balak and Balaam offered on every altar a bullock and a ram. And Balaam said unto Balak, stand by the burnt offering, and I will go. Peradventure Jehovah will come to meet me, and whatsoever he showeth me, I will tell thee. And he went to a bare height. And God met Balaam, and he said unto him, I have prepared the 7 altars, and I have offered up a bullock and a ram on every altar. And Jehovah put a word in Balaam's mouth, and said, return unto Balak, and thus thou shalt speak. And he returned unto him, and lo, he was standing by his burnt offering, he and all the princes of Moab. And he took up this parable and said, from Aram hath Balak brought me, the king of Moab, from the mountains of the east. Come, curse me, Jacob, and come, defy Israel. How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? And how shall I defy whom Jehovah hath not defied? He has this attitude toward the Word of God that I can't do something if God doesn't want me to do it. I have received a commandment, and I have to do what God wants me to do. And I can't go beyond that. And so look at verse 20 when he gets into his second prophecy. Chapter 23, verse 20. Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Bible basic number 4. When God tells me something, I can't change it. I can't reverse it. I can't curse, verse 8, if God doesn't want me to curse. I can't do that. I can't defy Israel if that's not what God wants. Brethren, we have a pattern in the New Testament. And we can't go around just changing it. Anytime it suits a situation that we're in. And that's what has happened even in the history of some churches of Christ. The particular decade that they're in order to deal with some particular something, they'll change the Word of God. We can't do that. Well, people like instrumental music now, so let's bring instrumental music. And we can't do that, even though it's popular right now and it's what people want. I cannot reverse it. Underscore that in your Bible. I just can't do it. Well, but we want women preachers. And we want instrumental music. And we want a fellowship hall. And we... I can't change it. That's what the Word of God says. But faith only. No, I can't do that. Baptism is not. No, can't do that. And sometimes we just have to stand up and say, I can't change the Word of God. But what about my marriage? No. But I'm in love, and sometimes you'll see that with regard to someone who has
divorced unscripturally and they want to remarry. Well, God wants me to be in love and God wants me to... I'm sorry, I can't reverse what Matthew 19:9 says. I'm sorry. But can I be saved without baptism? I'm sorry, I can't reverse Acts 2:38.
What a great attitude.
And it's a fundamental principle that we need to be hearing today. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2, Paul talks about how that we are to hold fast the traditions which are taught. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 15, hold fast the traditions. This is not the man-made traditions of the Pharisees back in the Gospels. The word tradition is used in the New Testament in two different ways. To mean man-made tradition, which doesn't have to be followed, and that which is passed along, the tradition from the apostles, the Word of God. That's what's in 2 Thessalonians 2:15 and 1 Corinthians 11:2. This, Paul says, hold it fast and don't let it go. We can't change it. We can't reverse it. In 2 Timothy 1:13, Paul says, hold fast the pattern of sound words. Young people, you're going to have to hold on to it. Because in the 21st century, buddy, it is slipping quick. You're going to have to hold on to it. And the young people here can be the church leaders of tomorrow and the makeup of the church tomorrow, but you're going to have to hold on to that pattern. People are wanting to move it and change it all the time. And when somebody says such that, just say, look, I'm sorry. I can't reverse that. I just can't change that. And, you know, you might be unpopular. You won't be in the in crowd, but so be it. You'll have the right attitude toward the Word of God. What a great approach to God. I can't do something that if God doesn't want me to do it. In verse 11 of chapter 23, Balak said unto Balaam, what hast thou done unto me? I took thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast blessed them altogether. He just doesn't get it. He just doesn't get it. And some people don't get it. They don't get it. This is the very Word of God. And they just don't get it. And some people even that think that, well, this is the Word of God, their attitude, well, isn't it like something that can be changed? Everything else in life can be changed. There's stuff at work that can be changed and stuff at school that can be changed. Well, why can't that be changed? They just don't get it. And so he just keeps coming back. And Balaam stands his ground. And that's what we have to do sometimes. What a great attitude. So we have Balaam's, what we call his first and second prophecy. Come with me now to chapter 23 and verse 25. Numbers 23, 25. And Balak said unto Balaam, neither curse them at all, nor bless them at all. Okay. I give up. Maybe he's exasperated, you know. But Balaam answered and said unto Balak, told not I thee, saying, all that Jehovah speaketh, that must I do. Let's look at a fifth attitude toward the Word of God. Balaam's approach to the Word of God was not theoretical and hypothetical. He said, all, not some, not most, all that Jehovah speaks, that must I do. At the end of the day, the Word of God is for doing. So that's a great principle that we need to learn. When we come to our Bible classes and our sermons and our personal reading at home, it's all about doing it, application. That was stressed this past week in the parable of the Good Samaritan and other things that were said. Go out and do this. And so when we understand that what we're reading is the very Word of God and we can't go beyond it and we can't add to it or take from it, we can't reverse it, we're going to go out and practice it in our daily personal lives. And that would help so many people today. The Bible is not about discussing. The Bible is not about discussions and interesting points. It's about going out and practicing it each and every day in our marriage, in our family, in our parenting, in our daily Christianity, and at work and at school and other places. And so James talks about not being hearers only, but doers. Doers. All that Jehovah says, that I must do. It's a requirement. It's an incentive. It is non-negotiable. And let's have that approach toward the Word of God. There are a lot of things in our culture today that deal with religion. There's seminaries and various colleges and universities. There's various religious gatherings that sometimes I keep up with online. I'll read about them. And what it is basically is just a bunch of scholars getting together to discuss the latest theory about this or that. And at the end of the day, nobody goes home and practices anything. But everybody feels good that they discussed some religious things. It's almost sad. We, on the other hand, we go out and put it into practice. And James says, that's when the man is blessed. The man or the woman in the Lord's church is blessed. That's where the fruit really comes and the joy and the reward, when he hears and he does the Word of God. Let's have that basic approach toward God and His Word. Well, Balaam goes on. Turn with me to chapter 24, where he will give his third and fourth and final blessing. Numbers chapter 24. And when Balaam saw that it pleased Jehovah to bless Israel, and by the way, it does, you know, it pleases God to what? Just do what he says. It pleases God when you just do what he says. So Balaam sees that Jehovah is pleased to bless Israel. He went out, not as other times, to meet with enchantments, but he set his face toward the wilderness. And Balaam lifted up his eyes, and he saw Israel dwelling according to their tribes, and the Spirit of God came upon him. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor saith, and the man whose eyes, the American Standard says, was closed. Your version probably says was opened. There's some discussion about that. Verse 4, he saith, who heareth the words of God, who seeth the vision of the Almighty, falling down and having his eyes open. And then he goes on to bless Israel a third time. And then look at chapter 24 and verse 16. He saith, who hears the words of God and knows the knowledge of the Most High, who sees the vision of the Almighty, falling down and having his eyes open. It's repeated twice. One last attitude that Balaam had toward the Word of God was simply this. Falling down and having his eyes open. Here's an attitude of humility that all throughout this process, my eyes are opened to the truth of the Word of God. He may have had in mind back in chapter 22 there where the Lord opened his eyes to see the angel in front of him. I think he also has in mind just the total process. As I receive the Word of God in these visions, as the Spirit of God comes upon me, I fall down and my eyes are opened to what God wants. What a great attitude that when we open our Bible with humility, we're going to have our eyes opened to the truth. Now, Balak, he just kept his eyes closed the whole time. He didn't want to hear anything other than what he had already made up his mind to hear. But Balaam is learning over and over again the truth and the light of God's Word. And let's have that attitude. We're not prophets. We're not directly receiving the Spirit of God upon us. But verse 4, we hear the words of God when we read our New Testaments. And we see His message. Can we fall down and have our eyes opened to the truth of God's Word? I love it in the resurrection appearances of Jesus in Luke chapter 24, if you'll turn with me there, when He's talking to the two on the road to Emmaus. And the comment that they make later, and then Jesus is later talking to the disciples in Luke chapter 24 and verse 32. I love this statement. And they said one to another, "Was not our heart burning within us while he spake to us in the way?" Can we have that kind of heart burn tonight? Hearts burning to learn the Word of God. Hearts burning to enjoy what Jesus can teach us. While he spake to us in the way, while he opened to us the Scriptures. And then later in verse 45 with the apostles, "Then opened he their mind that they might understand the Scriptures." To be open to truth. To be open to the Word of God. And not be blinded like Balak, who just went around with his preconceived notions of what he wanted to hear. But to be open. Open-minded, open to the truth. And that's when we're really enlightened. You hear about all these problems that are going on in our nation. Mason prayed about that, the different problems that we're having. People need to be enlightened. They need to have their minds open to the truth of the Word of God. And that's what would help them. So Balaam's Bible basics. Can we approach the Bible every time we open it up as the very Word of God? We can do that. And we can refuse to go beyond. We're not going to add to or take from the Word of God. We're not going to just say anything we want about a particular Scripture. And that is so... The older I've gotten, the more that has been on my mind. I think about James chapter 3 and verse 1. "Let not many of you be teachers, because you will receive a stricter judgment." You know what part of that is? What if I stand up and say something that is not what God once said? That's a very serious thing. And that can happen quite easily. So teachers need to take it very seriously. And the older I've gotten, the more I've been mindful of that. Think about how many sermons I've preached and how many Bible classes. That's a lot of opportunity to say something wrong about the Word of God. I can't just say whatever I want. And neither can you. And so I've found myself praying from time to time, "Lord, if I have ever said anything about the Word of God that's not what you once said, please forgive me. If I have taught something that is not right, I don't want to just say whatever I want." And I hope that we can be reminded tonight that we're not ever going to reverse what God says. And we're always going to go out and do it. And we're always going to want to have an open mind. I think about the psalmist in Psalm 119. "Open my eyes to see wondrous things out of thy law." What a great thought. Well, in chapter 24 and verse 13, I think this passage, this verse sums it up. All of these attitudes. Where Balaam says, "Balak, if you give me your house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of Jehovah to do either good or bad of my own mind. What Jehovah speaks, that will I speak." Do you know that slogan that we often refer to? "Speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent." Do you know that was mentioned by some what we call restoration preachers in the early to mid 1800s? And it's a good statement. But you know it doesn't originate with them. It goes back to Balaam. Balaam was saying, in effect, "Speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent." And what a great attitude. And if our young people here this evening will carry these principles with you all throughout life, you will be in the future only a part of that New Testament church that you can find in the New Testament. If not, then we find ourselves just progressing and going out and going beyond and ending up in other kinds of things, even like I've had in my own family. And it starts with just a basic attitude toward the Bible and the Word of God. Can we take these Bible basics with us this evening? And, you know, it's that basic Bible attitude that brings one to Christ. When I hear the gospel plan of salvation, to repent and be baptized for the remission of my sins, that's just the Word of God. I'm going to get up and do that. And maybe we can assist somebody this evening in doing that very thing. If you need to come back in some way, if we can assist you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?